Thank you for joining us for a new episode of the Locked On Knicks podcast. Tragedy occurring in the NBA world this morning. I mean, one that's shocking to the point that I really didn't think it was real for about an hour. Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna, alongside three other people, passing away in a helicopter accident this morning in California. Yeah, and I think I'm going to do a podcast later today with Alex, but I kind of wanted to get some thoughts out there. All right, we'll get into it next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome into Locked On Knicks again. Noted in the intro, some tragic news this morning. Kobe Bryant, alongside his daughter Gianna, and three others, passing away in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California. I'm gonna do a podcast later today with Alex. It's hopefully gonna be a little bit more organized and maybe talk a little bit more about in specifics about Kobe's career and stuff. But this was, I thought it would be therapeutic for me to go on and talk about. And I don't know how coherent this is going to be. I don't know if I hopefully can try to do the guy justice, but I mean, I'm still sort of in shock. I mean, I'm 24 years old. Anyone who grew up relative to my age group, I mean, this was sort of the guy when you were a kid, one of the first athletes that you really fell in love with. And I think even more than that, I mean, someone that I thought was going to live to be 150 somehow, because he was just seemed like unkillable, like just such a relentless competitor and someone who's at the peak of human condition. And as much as I personally, like, and this is maybe part of the beauty of him, like the people who loved him and hated him, but I wasn't a fan of his. I mean, obviously being a Knicks fan, and also, I mean, just like his style of play. But simultaneously, you respect the guy just immensely for how much of a killer competitor he was, and to inspire such vitriol, it takes someone of incredible talent, and he certainly had that. And then when he was on your side, all of a sudden, like, I remember watching all those different all the Olympic teams and the World Championship team he was on growing up in 2008 and 2012, when the U.S. was at an all-time low, and they wouldn't have beaten Spain, I don't think, either of those two times without Kobe and some of the shots he made down the stretch. And you just sort of, like, it was kind of mesmerizing to get to root for him. And I remember thinking, it's like, oh my God, this is what Lakers fans get all the time. This is the coolest thing in the world, to know you have excuse my language, but the baddest motherfucker on the court. On your team. And that was true every single time he stepped on the court. Like, I mean, I personally think there were guys in the league with him that were better at the same time, but he was always going to be the toughest and the most skilled and the guy who put in the most preparation and the guy who wanted to win the most. And I think, to put all of this in perspective, the most I've ever liked him was after his career. And just, I mean, I think a lot of people have probably seen it on social media, but the clip of him on Jimmy Kimmel talking about his daughter, Gianna, the one who, I mean, even more tragically, also passed away in the crash today. Him just, talking about how, I mean, you could just sense the pride. It was is coming off him in tangible waves, that when people would come up to him on the street and say, "Hey man, you got to have a son. You need someone to carry on the legacy." And his daughter would sort of pipe up and say, "Hey, I'm going to be the one to do it." And anyone who watched highlights of her play and watched her play, I mean, just an immense talent. Really loved the game. And the other clip that stands out, the one of him at the Nets game, just breaking something down with her, and you could. I mean, I'm sure everyone feels the same way, just personally, just so looking forward to a lifetime of watching her develop into, I mean, seemingly inevitably a pro, and getting to see, I mean, the the payoff of someone who grew up as Kobe Bryant's daughter. And I mean, clearly the love that they had back and forth. And you see all these players on social media, like Trae Young posted something today, like a picture with his daughter, Luka, picture with his daughter, and how these guys stayed around the game. And sort of, I mean, to me, that's, I mean, Kobe, who, I mean, obviously had the rape accusation, and that forever tarnished his legacy to some degree. And then to flip and not, this is a really complicated issue, especially when you get into the notion of whether or not he was guilty, whether he just paid someone off, whether, I mean, it wasn't true. So I don't really want to delve into that, but I mean, just, I mean, you look at, and this could be, I guess, horrifying from some people's perspectives if you think that he did it, or really gratifying if he didn't, but just, I mean, the champion of women's basketball that he became, and how this guy who was, I mean, sort of the peak of masculinity, really genuinely was a champion of the women's game. And through, I mean, it almost feels like, not that I'm particularly religious, but in some ways like an act of God, that he had four daughters, and he, through them, I think really, again, became a hero to a lot of girls basketball players. And I think he even had a quote like something like a week ago talking about how Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, Candace Parker, Elaine Deladon could all play in the NBA. And I always thought that was cool. I mean, someone who was such a hero to so many people, that's, I can only imagine if I had a daughter, what that would mean to her. And I'm sure what that means to girls around the country. I mean, this guy who, again, is sort of, for so many people, like the basketball player in their lifetime, coming out and saying, look, anyone can do this. And it's not about your gender. It's not about anything really. It's about how much work you're willing to put in. And I mean, just for me personally, this hits really hard for someone who, I mean, it's just a reminder about how random life is. And no matter how successful you are, how secure you are, how much work you put in, can all come to an end in an instant. And that means a lot to me, because I'm someone that I've talked about, I think I did a podcast or two on it last year, on like my personal mental health issues. But for a variety of reasons, I mean, depression, anxiety, OCD, I feel like I haven't sort of maximized my life in a lot of ways. And especially, I mean, like the last 3 years post-college, but even through college and through high school, I mean, letting sort of my mental health issues get the best of me and being too scared to really deal with them in a meaningful way. And for years and years and years, I mean, not even being able to put them in perspective and hearing about things like depression and thinking, okay, like, I don't want to kill myself. So I don't have that. That's not, it's not something that I have to deal with. And then sort of realizing over time, like, just because it's not that extreme doesn't mean that I'm not dealing with something really significant. And just because I mean, lucky enough to, again, like, be born into really good life conditions and like live in New York City and live with a middle class family and like never having to go hungry, always having good friends. I mean, being like, again, like anyone who's lucky enough to get to pursue, I shouldn't say lucky, I should say privileged enough to get to pursue sports journalism as a career. I mean, it's a joke. There are so many people around the world just suffering on a day-to-day basis, and so many people who don't know where their next meal is coming from. And because of that, like, I've always felt this, like, I mean, immense sense of guilt, like, what do I have to complain about? And then I also a lot of guilt over, I mean, letting these issues, like, I mean, keep me like in bed for days at a time, and just like not really doing anything, not being productive, not really pursuing my goals and my dreams. And it's almost sort of denying my own mortality in a way, and just saying, all right, I mean, I have all the time in the world to fix this and stuff. And I mean, it, again, this from Kobe sort of shows that, look, everyone's on a clock. You don't know when it's going to run out of time, and you can't take any moment for granted, and everyone has their struggles. I mean, I know for a lot of you listening, and just a lot of people out there, a lot more significant than the ones that I do, but you have to sort of take them with a grain of salt, and in a sense, live the best life you possibly can with them and do your best to overcome them. And again, it's just, I mean, I think if I'm going to try to include like all the links that I thought were really good today in the episode description. So look there for that. But like what Jay Williams said, I mean, if you're on ESPN today, if you're fighting with a family member or a loved one, or you're just caught up in some petty bullshit, just kind of remember that it's not all that significant at the end of the day. And you sort of, and I'm sort of stunned by it. Like, I know a lot of people who just really hold on to things and can't get past certain things, and just really, again, not to criticize people because everyone has their shit, but just live really surface level lives and obsessed with social media, which a trap that we all fall into, but different, just prioritizing the wrong things ultimately. And again, it's really crucial to remember. I mean, all that matters is the people around you and how much you love them, and that you tell them that you love them. And ultimately, just it's about spending time with them. And again, fun is a luxury. Fun is the ability to have fun and to really enjoy yourself. It's a product of privilege a lot of time, and I fully acknowledge that. But to the best of your ability, I mean, maximize it, because we're not here forever, and tomorrow's not a guarantee. All right, I just ripped off a lot of cliches and got really personal, but. And again, I'm going to come back with Alex later. And I was thinking of also, if I can do it, I'm eventually like having some friends on that are Lakers fans and letting them talk a little bit about what Kobe means to them. And I'm sure I'll get into this in the podcast later today. But I remember, I mean, even beyond all the Team USA stuff, the moment that I came to really respect and love Kobe Bryant was like the last game of his career. I was watching with my friend John, who I went to college with, who, interestingly enough, you want to hear about the worldwide reach of Kobe Bryant. He grew up on Guam, and he fell in love with him. And I was watching him just tear up, and it was this incredible thing with this guy who was, I mean, the whole tour, and in the best way possible, it was like that whole final year for Kobe was sort of self-indulgent. And I mean, just to see the magic in the guy who was so clearly, I mean, off that torn Achilles, like he was just not the same player anymore, for him to score 60. And I know it was on a lot of shots, but for him to just go on that run at the end of the game to push the Lakers to a victory, and that he could draw that brilliance out of himself. I mean, it's one of those, isn't that ultimately the reason that we love sports and we watch sports, for moments like that? And to me, I don't know about other people listening, but my favorite moments as a fan growing up, been in my life, were sort of when stars that are just past their primes would have those moments of magic, like Dirk last year, Wade last year, Duncan in his final season, just those flashes of what they used to be and how special they are. And that it was almost, it really transcended logic a little bit, because you know that at the end of the day, those guys just, they're not that good anymore. And yet there's a certain magic, there's something a little extra that they could just pull out. And it was amazing. And it electrified you and gave you this, I mean, feeling of existential awe that very little else does. And that's why I love basketball. That's why at the end of the day, I love Kobe Bryant. So I'll leave it there for now. And again, we'll probably have something later. But I really appreciate anyone who tuned in. If this is meaningful to anyone and you want to talk about mental health stuff or just anything, mention this podcast. Definitely, hit me up on Twitter. All right. Really appreciate it again. And we'll talk soon.